بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نستعد إن شاء الله in the chapter of Hajj. The chapter of Hajj. Of course, the chapter of Hajj is considered one of the big complex chapters. Learning about Hajj in theory will never give you the strong knowledge if you don't go Hajj yourself. Normally what people do before they go Hajj, they attend courses and they learn lessons and everything. And they think when they get there, they got it now. Even if you memorize books, when you get there, you get hit with the hard reality that everything you learned, you put it aside, and now it's the reality. You'll find everything that you learned, yes, you understand what you need to do, but how you're going to do it becomes very difficult due to the amount of people, the way, the tired, the hardship. This is a story happened in Hajj. One brother, he's taken a book with him, and he said, "I want to do everything in the book." But he did not even finish the first lap. Why? Because they said sunnah to kiss the Hajar al-Aswad. By the time he tried to kiss it, start, it was already too quashed and squashed, and miles. He couldn't come back out, and when he came back very sick. He went home and said, "I'm going to rest again and come back." So in reality, Hajj, everything you learn is excellent to learn. It's good to know, because that's knowledge. And knowledge, it's important. And of course, the theory has to be practiced. But a lot of the times, the chapter of Hajj, you learn it, but it becomes too difficult to apply everything that is in the chapter of Hajj. And then you find yourself, you go with the group, and then you follow what the group say. You see? But you're going to learn, of course, about the basics of Hajj and to understand what is Hajj and everything to do with Hajj. Of course, Al-Manasik, it's called Al-Manasik, the chapter of Manasik, considered to be complex, not easy to understand. Especially the affairs and the matters that arises when you're doing Hajj. A lot of the things that you find yourself, hang on, what do I do now? I learned, but really, what do I do? And not any sheikh, normal sheikh, can answer questions. I can tell you myself, I learned chapter of Hajj, I taught chapter of Hajj, I do courses about Hajj, I take people to Hajj. But I find myself there are few questions at the time of Hajj I can't answer. I said to the brothers, I've got to ring someone who is more knowledgeable than me, because I don't know what is the answer for this problem. This is how much Hajj can be very difficult to get answers for the problems and the occurrences that rise every time. Now, first, quickly, before into talking about Hajj and going to the fiqh matters, I believe, just to give it short introduction of the virtues of Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajju al-mabruru laysa lahu jaza'un illa lijannah. Umrah to Umrah is a kafara, expiation to what is between them from sins. And Hajj al-Mabrur, what is Hajj al-Mabrur? A Hajj that you do it to the best of your ability and that is accepted. You don't do sexual or things that lead to it in Hajj. And you do not argue and debate in Hajj. This is the Hajj al-Mabrur. Then you go back home, like in one narration, your mother gave birth to you, or as in this narration, muttafaq alayha, agreed upon, there is no reward except the Jannah. But even the ulama said, they said, طيب, the matter here, when you come back, like in another narration, which the Prophet ﷺ said, man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmi waladatuhu ummuh. Whoever did Hajj, they did not do rafath nor fusuq, he comes back as his mother gave birth to him. They said, here, some ulama, like Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, even the major sin is expiated. Even the major sin. You know how you have a major sin and you need to repent? You know the major sin? One of the conditions to be expiated, you have to repent. But someone did not repent. He just went. Someone, wal'iyadu billah, let's just say, he deals with riba, or he drinks. He went to Hajj. He's still thinking, oh, when I go back, I'll drink some more. All the previous sins has expiated. And when he starts drinking again, he starts writing up on him again. Some ulama said, no, the Mayyija sin, it will remain until he repents, and then Allah will wipe out the sins of it after Hajj. You see, after he does Hajj. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam collected in Muslim, he said, ما من يوم أكثر من أن يعتق الله فيه عبدا من النار. There is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from, or slaves from, the fire like the day of Arafah. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could look at the people of Arafah and say, I've forgiven you, all of you. All of you not to the fire. You're not going to the fire. This is the day that the majority of days throughout the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he frees people from the fire. And he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ. This is from Aqidat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Allah descends in a way that suits his majesty. On the day of Arafah, Allah descends. Like the last third of the night. And then he would show off with them, with these people standing asking him, the angels. He said, look at my slaves. فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. He would say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what these people want. Of course, in other narration they would say, they asking you for forgiveness and the Jannah and so. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, bear witness, I've forgiven them. Day Arafah. You see, the brother in day of Arafah, it's the hard day for him. He is panicking, worrying, sleeping, eating, air conditioning. Wallahi, some brothers, they spend day of Arafah all of it complaining about the air conditioning. They don't move for a dua. You would see that. They don't get out of the tent, they just sit, man, shop. All they do is, when we're going to eat? What are we going to eat? What's in the fridge? And actually, on the day of Arafah, we had people arguing about what type of food. Amazing. Arguing about everything. Akhi, this is the day. Al-Hajj Arafah, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The Hajj is Arafah. You coming for this day. And even when I take people to Hajj, I say, look, my problem with you is to make sure that you're safe until you get to Arafat. After Arafat is done, get lost. But I've done my job. Why? Because my worry is to make sure you paid so much money and you left your family and your work to do Hajj. If you don't do Arafah, you didn't do Hajj. No matter what you do, you didn't do Hajj. So even on stretcher, I'm still taking you to Arafat. I'm still in ambulance, I'm taking you to Arafat. Why? Because to do Hajj. This is the thing. And you see the brother, in that day where Allah descends and Allah is forgiving, and Allah is saying, يعني, you're forgiven, and what you're asking me, yalla, take, and what you're asking, take. And the brother is complaining. Where's the aircon? You promised us aircon in the tent. There's no aircon. I promised you, but they didn't bring it. What do you want me to do? Go fight with them. He goes arguing, you will not aircon. We paid them. See, this is from the deception of the shaitan. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for it to break down, the things to go wrong, to test you, to see, are you going to have sabr and still make the dua? Subhanallah al-Azim. And the day of Arafat is the day of dua, and Allah forgives the sins. of course, the hadith are many for the Hajj to be accepted and good. The first thing to be sincere in your Hajj. Many brothers, that happens a lot. Yani, alhamdulillah, the Muslims who grew up in Australia, many brothers don't go to show off about Hajj. But in a Muslim country, when he reaches 60, he feels shy. Well, I'm 60, I have to go Hajj now. Or he wants the title Hajji. Hajji Sab. Hajji Sab. He wants the title Hajji Sab. He wants to be called Hajj. This is, of course, against the ikhlas. Hajj has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it can be rejected, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ مَعِي فِيهِ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. He said, whoever does an action that he associates somebody else with me in it, I leave him and his shirk. I abandon him with his shirk وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Because this is, and you have someone else in your intention. Come to mind, what about doing business in Hajj? This is under this. لا جناح عليكم أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم. In Ayat al-Hajj, in Surah al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no jinah, there is no burden on you to seek sustenance and blessings from your Lord. Because some they do hajj as a business. Or some they go and they have the intention to buy 5,000 ad-daffa and put it in a box and send it to Sydney to their shop. Some they say, I'm going to buy books and perfumes and everything and I want to make a trade. I'm going to buy whatever, honey, whatever is the motive included in hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah, there is no burden on you to do business. Here, so it does not go against sincerity. The issue here, the ulama answered this. They said, ibadat are two types, murakkaba wa ghayr murakkaba. What does it mean? Structured and ibadat not structured. How is that? Structured from different ibadat. So many components in it. And ibadat that doesn't have so many components. It's one entity. And some of them are different entities combined together. The ibadah that has one entity like the salat, you cannot do it except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you cannot break it down to say, well, do rak'ah, then work and come back and do another rak'ah. I'm going to Liverpool to pray Isha. So, if I'm going to pray Isha in Liverpool, while I'm there, I'm in the masjid, I pray rak'ah, do business and come back. No, because you can't break up the salat. It's one entity. This, the ibadat, that is one entity, has to be to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadat which is structured from different entities, then you can do business in between and mix business with it. Like Hajj, for example. Hajj is structured from Tawaf, Sa'i, Arafat, Muzdalifah. You can do the Tawaf and the Sa'i and then rest and go do business. But the Tawaf and Sa'i has to be for Allah alone's sake. Not look at me, I'm doing Tawaf. Sah? And the Sa'i has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in between, you're free. You can do business. And that's why it does not go against sincerity to a person to plan to do business while he is going to Hajj, because the ibadat are different entities, and each entity you do it for Allah, and in between, you have the right to do business. You understand that it does not nullify, and this is how the ulama explained it. Also, we say the second character from Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, the second one, is to follow the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Hadith in Sahih Muslim, whoever does an act not from our affair, or it is not from our matter, or it's not from the matter of ours, meaning Islam, it is rejected. Meaning you don't do hajj according to what you feel like. You do hajj according to the sunnah of the Prophet. That's why the Prophet in hadith Jabir bin Abdullah. Remember this, ikhwani. There is hadith, the ulama, they call it the hadith of hajj, the best hadith, that explained everything the Prophet did. It's called hadith Jabir bin Abdullah, where he walked every step with the Prophet and explained to us how the Prophet did hajj. By the way, the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith never spoke except the dua and the talbiyah and all these things. So he said, look at me, what I do, and do exactly what I do. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me the rites of hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ performed hajj, and Jabir ibn Abdullah was explaining to the companions after he memorized from the Prophet ﷺ how he done alayhi salatu wasalam hajj. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sunnah is very important in hajj. Many groups, we don't like to talk about that, I don't like to brag about that, but you have to understand, many groups, they got too many corners. Sometimes, even the obligation, they drop. Take an example, sleeping in Mina. Many don't sleep. They sleep one night, to show you how Mina looks like. But the rest, they don't sleep. They sleep in Azizia. They say Azizia is part of Mina. Many groups, by the way. Of course, if you missed two nights, you didn't sleep. You need two nights in Mina, you have to slaughter the sheep. Your hajj, incomplete. Not incorrect, it's incomplete. There's a difference between incorrect and incomplete. Yeah? But you have to slaughter the sheep. Many don't, because of the hardship of sleeping in Mina. Of course, there's no hardship. It's the best place. But what happened in Mina, because of the toilets you have to queue up and everything, people don't like him. So they say, khalas, stay in Aziziyah. And they stay eating sujuk and makanik and food and everything. So the issue here is, they give him twisted fatawa. In Aziziyah is outside Mina. Inshallah, if Allah give you the lifetime to go to Hajj, you'd see Mina is sitting inside a valley and surrounded by mountains. That's why when it rains, it floods. You know how many times it gets flooded and our mattresses start to float? Nearly every year, except last year, we didn't flood. Every year, it rains so badly. Huh? Sometimes we walk into water up to here. You don't know what you're stepping on. That's how bad some years we faced in Mina. And Wahim, and don't ask what's this bad smell, because they don't have a real good sewage system. So, you're in Hajj. You don't care in Hajj. SubhanAllah, Allah will give you the power. Wallahi, we've seen some old people who in Sydney, they can't even walk. In Hajj, they beat you. You can't catch up to them. Allah gives the people the power. Unbelievable, the barakah of Hajj and the barakah that exists in that land. Al-Muhim, he says that Aziziyah is part of Mina. Of course, Aziziyah is not part of Mina, because Aziziyah is on the other side of the mountain. You have the mountains, and it is on the other side, outside. So it cannot be unless the tents are connected. Sah? And the tents are not connected.
There's two large signs. Mina starts here.
Exactly.
And Mina finishes here.
Exactly. So there are signs and everything, but al-Muhim, they cut corners. A lot of them, they don't sleep in Muzdalifah. They keep you in the bus from Arafat, they stop the bus for a minute or two or 5-10 minutes, they give the driver 100 riyal, they say stop here, 10 minutes, and make dua, and then drive. You can't. You have to sleep at least, if you have week in the group, till 12. And the fatwa is disputed. We stay till Fajr. And the old people will send them in the bus by 12. But the Shabab will keep them. You have to understand that many people don't do the Hajj properly. Many groups. It's all cutting corners. Why? Because they want to do it quickly. It's not holiday. You come to find bit of hardship to do the Hajj. You see, and some brothers think that if they paid 50,000 or 20,000 or 15,000 five star, it's going to be easy. No, it's easy in the beginning. But after, when the reality hits, you are like everyone else. You're going to sleep on the floor like everyone else. You're wearing the ihram like everyone else. You get the diarrhea like everyone else. You get cold like everyone else. You sleep in the tent. You might sleep on a mattress and the other one's sleeping on the floor. The difference, your tent might have water and 7-Up and food, but that's basically it. The hardship is there. You see, Hajj, part of it is hardship. You can't suspend the hardship from Hajj, but it's beautiful. Hardship, subhanAllah. And that's why every year I make dua that I'll come back. And I come back every year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never stops us from going to that house except to something better, inshallah. So you see here, the issue is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يعني خذوا عني مناسككم, you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he did Hajj. And in reality, do not cut corners. But you, if there are some sunan of Hajj that you can overlook due to you being in a group, that is a different story. You stick with the group is more important than practicing small sunan. Sah, like for example, some of the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done it. Like for example, after you finish from Muzdalifah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and stoned, then he went straight to do Tawaf al-Ifada. He stoned al-Aqaba al-Kubra after Arafat. You learn all that, inshallah, in this study. Arafat, then Muzdalifah, then he went to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aqaba al-Kubra stoning. After the stoning, he went to do what? Tawaf al-Ifada. Some group delay Tawaf al-Ifada. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people came to him, he said, I've done this before that, or this before that. He said, if'al wala harsh, do and there is no problem. Why? Because the basic principle, of fatawi of Hajj is on ease. Some people, they get too hung up. They want to do exactly how the Prophet ﷺ done. Now you're making it hard on yourself. No, for example, you can do the Aqaba, go shave your hair, have ghusl, have shower, clean yourself, wear your thawb, And then later at night you can do the tawaf al-ifada. You saved yourself going to do tawaf in your ihram. Of course you're already tired. And some of them, they got a rash. Sah? They can't. So what is easier here? To go exactly, or to go and cut your hair, wear your normal clothing, sleep a few hours and go do your tawaf. Logically, if it is allowed and you're not going against the sunnah and the Prophet ﷺ allowed it to the people, then you do that. You see, between two extremes, some people, due to their ignorance and arrogance, they sometimes make it too hard, and then you see people fainting and people collapsing. And some of them, due to negligence, they cut corners and they do not perform the Hajj properly. Right. This third description of, or point of a Hajj that is accepted Hajj inshaAllah, to be from halal money. To be from what? Halal money. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good and pure, does not accept except good and pure. What does it mean from halal money? Halal money meaning the money is not came through haram ways. Money that you worked for from a halal job you saved to do the Hajj. A question comes, طيب يا شيخ والله, I had a shop that used to sell, for example, haram and I repented. Or I had money, I bought a business and a business, for example, in riba and interest and that, and I repented. Does that, can I use that money? Rahamukallah. We say, since you repented, that money bi-idhnillah, yani it's accepted. And some ulama, or to say, it's better to, from that money, take amount of money that you worked halal. Sah? To make sure the Hajj is accepted 100%. Do from that money. You have 50,000 that come from a haram mean that you repented from that haram. Some ulama, they say you have to get rid of that money. Some of them, they said if you repented, you repented. Because the Prophet ﷺ, many of the people who converted to Islam or came to Islam, he never asked them, where did you get your money from? And have you... No, khalas, once you repented, that wealth remain yours. You take some of that money and you go Hajj. If you saved other money which is actually from halal, then that money can be used for Hajj also. It is best to use the money that comes, that came originally from halal means. Originally from halal means, and to go with it to... No. To go with it to Hajj. The fourth description of an accepted Hajj, to stay away from the sin while you are at Hajj. What is the sins? A lot of the people, as you know, if you do a Hajj Tamattu, which is majority of the people, you reach to Mecca, you do the Tamattu, the Umrah, you take, you shave and you finish the Umrah, you get into your normal clothing and you stay in Mecca. Of course, here you have about 5-6 days to a week. A lot of them, they spend it in Ma'af, disobedience of Allah, they hang out at the shops, each one girl, each other, you know, and they waste their time in the haram, in the ghiba. You see them all sitting in Starbucks and sitting in inside the Zamzam Towers and the Hilton Towers, Starbucks, all day. He just goes to the Salat and come back to the Starbucks or go hang out, and it's all, it become like a hangout in Mecca shopping centers. Sah? And talking ghiba, oh, back in Sydney, this sheikh and that sheikh and this brother and that brother. It's finished. Have you destroyed the Hajj? Some of them even in Hajj, they're still smoking. And he still smokes inside Mecca. Some of them, if he is not a bearded brother, he keeps shaving his beard in Tabiakhi. At least, ittaqillah fi baladillahi al-haram. At least leave your beard just that for that week. You see, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in baladillahi al-haram. Smoking cigarettes and doing this, and he's still in his ghiba and namima and everything. He goes to prays and come back. Of course, you are in a place that salat 100,000 times. Yani, what would you do anything? What would you do anything except go to the salat? Shuf, subhanAllah, one year, by the brothers, they found it tough. I used to wake them up, all of them, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And anyone who didn't wake up, I used to punish them. So 3 o'clock, that wasn't last year, but a year before. Make sure 3 o'clock, I used to wake them up downstairs, and we go Qiyam in Mecca. So either you're doing tawaf or you're doing Qiyam in the haram. I don't want to see you doing anything else. You see, this is tarbiyah. Every salah 100,000. Ulama different whether it's obligatory and a supererogatory, but take the hadith as general. General says 100,000, 100,000. Every salah,
100,000. Yani every salat you pray, you're getting 100,000. Yani more than all the salawat in all your life. Some, wallahi, were troubled with some. They sleep through Fajr there. A lot of trouble with some. They were sleeping through Fajr. You'd wake them up. They won't even wake up for Fajr in the haram. Ajib. Wallahi ajib. You know, what are you here for? ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى قُلُوب. And thus whosoever glorify the rites of Allah, the rites which is the rituals, the rites, the ibadah, it is from the piety of the heart. You see him in the Bayt al-Haram, in Mecca, inside the Kaaba, and you see him sitting gossiping and talking and slandering. عَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. عظم شعائر الله سبحان الله العظيم. The Kaaba, the Haram, Baytullah. Done, يعني, but سبحان الله العظيم والعياذ بالله. The Argila, in Azizia, the Argila gave to some groups. The Argila, يعني, this is something they sit on the roof. I'm telling you. Actually, people are strange sometimes. Alhamdulillah. Also, Ikhwani, from the mistakes that people do in Al-Hajj, which is it's considered from the Fusuq in Hajj, apart from slander and all of this, and debate and jidal, something very important is the pushing and shoving that take place. Very easily for you to lose your nerve and punish someone. You know how easy it is that? To ask somebody who's been through it. You don't understand. You get people, especially if you're doing tawaf, he's got his hand in your back. You don't know how annoying it is. His fist in his back and he's pushing you and walking. And you just look and look. What do you want to do? You just want to swing. Give him a good swing. You know. But here is the test. What are you going to do? You already be patient. You know what I usually do? Fadda. He looks at me. Oh, he let me through. Yeah, fadda. Come. You're going nowhere. Yani, what are you going to do? Or if it becomes too annoying, don't push him. But you can easily see is grab his hand nicely and put it down. Please, brother, my back. You know, smiling. That's the best you can do. But for you to swing, you lost your hand. You lost the rule. You have to control. You know how easy that to lose your temper? You don't understand how easy to lose. Don't think that. Wallahi, everyone is mashallah. There are some people you find in Hajj, they haven't seen can of coke in their life. We've seen that. Yes, we'll come to that inshallah. They give cans of coke for free or cans of drink for free. I've seen people come from African countries, they're wondering how to open it. They're twisting it up and down, and then when they one of them figured out and pulled it, they all got surprised. Don't think these people they're going to let you through. A lot of these people don't know how to deal with matters. For them, this Hajj is wow. Look at this tiles, this that. They've never seen these things. Some of them never seen the electrical escalators. Every time there is somebody falling, and because there's so much people going up, all it takes is one person to make everyone falls behind them. If it rains, forget it. You're stuck in the haram, 3 hours, you can't get out. Patience required to the best of your ability. People who are used to spitting on the street, don't expect them to stop. They're going to spit, even if it comes on your clothes or on you or on your shoes or your feet. You're wearing sandals. What are you doing? Don't expect that he's going to apologize or say sorry or he wipes it off himself. No. You just take it in the chin and you walk away and not say nothing. So if you're a cleanish freak, some brothers have the little Dettol sanitizer and they start rubbing. You're done. This is something to be expected. I have seen people so poor, subhanAllah. To you, it's amazing, but this is day-to-day people. Huh? His glasses, it's all wrapped in sticker tape. Everything. From Afghanistan. So poor. So sitting there in the corner and he doesn't leave the hub. Salat and ibadah. See, you have to know there are all different sort of people here in the West. You're not used to these things. You're not used to this. So you're going to be shocked. Some of them sit in the middle of the road and make a wudu and spraying water everywhere and there is water everywhere.
Some of them do the poo-poo in strange places. Yes.
We've seen all sorts.
Some of the Iranians, they decide to pray the Ratu Rak'at behind the maqam.
Behind the maqam.
And right behind the maqam, in the heavy days of the tawaf, it's already, when you reach the maqam, it's very squeezing. Why? Because the maqam comes in the middle and people squeeze themselves to get through and people stop, want to rub the maqam, Ibrahim, and everything. It becomes so... You start to feel it. When you start, you're doing the tawaf, it's easy, easy, easy. When you come close to the maqam, you start to squeeze and you feel your chest going to squeeze. You see the people heavy. Then you'll be walking and you see someone, four or five men, surrounding a woman praying right in the middle. And people are falling over them and you see, but with the rahmah of Allah, no one gets hurt. But I'm telling you, subhanAllah, you get so angry, you just want to lash out on them. Are you crazy? You have me pray anywhere else. Then pray behind the maqam, but go back a little bit. No, he decides to pray there, and he's going to pray there. And unfortunately, even the guards, they remove him, they come back again. You see here, so these things, it requires lots and lots of sabr, lots of patience. Lots of patience. And sometimes, you know how many brothers get so upset. You go to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see the shirk there, people making dua. A lot of our brothers, who are staunch Salafis, they what? They want to go and they themselves become al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. They want to enjoy good and forbid evil. Habibi, 90% are swimming the other way. So what are you going to do? You tell people that they're going to... You will start an argument. You know how many our brothers who... They're not used to this. We talk to them about it, but now they see it in reality. So they want to give him amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Habibi, tawwal balak, relax. Because he's going to punch you in a minute. And it's not Sydney. It's not Sydney. You call the cops. Yeah, if he punches you, all his mob going to come and you're finished. No one can help you. And if either you speak their language and nicely and calmly, or just go about your business. Don't try to speak to a Turk who's rubbing his shirt, himself on the grave of the Prophet ﷺ or on a pole with a language he doesn't understand. And if you tell him haram, he is traveled all the way to tell him rubbing himself on the pole haram, he's going to go crazy. It doesn't work. Of course, here, it requires patience and hikmah in da'wah. Sometimes there's a time you talk, and sometimes a time you can't talk. Not because you approve, but you can't do anything. Come to Rawda. Rawda, how the people push in there. The Rawda is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, the pushing and the shoving. You're lucky to be able to stand and pray to rak'at. It's just so tight that you can't even pray to rak'at. Of course, what happens? The Rafida, when they go inside, they camp inside. Nothing going to move them. So, though I speak to them in Arabic when I take the group usually. I take the Shabab there, and I speak to them in Arabic, and I sound like a Saudi. I think I'm a Saudi, they start moving. Otherwise, they won't move, they just sit there. So, and so, all of the Hajj Ikhwani is a lesson, and sabr, and to learn from the situations that happens there. Of course, talking about the virtues of Hajj, talking about the Tawheed in Hajj is long. This is a different lecture altogether. InshaAllah, we'll record a separate lecture for this. Of course, the issue, the signs of Tawheed in Hajj, where you start from taking your clothes off and wearing ihram, you remember yourself what? How you're going to be shrouded and you left the dunya and everything behind. All the dunya, everything, you are worthless. There. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even allow you to wear your undies. This is how you look down at yourself, who you are. You can't even put a drop of perfume. You can't pull your hair. You can't, everything. You can't cut a nail. To remember that you are hopeless at that moment, except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the call of the tawaf. The call of the Hajj after you do the ihram and you wear your ihram. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. شوف سبحان الله لبيك اللهم لبيك. Oh Allah, I'm answering the call. لا شريك لك. You're the only one. The tawaf. You don't understand why it's seven. And why do I have to start from the black stone? You surrendered yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you engaged in the dua. You do exactly what Allah tells you. Then when you do the sa'i, you remember Hajar and Ismail between the Safa and Marwa, and a woman who had nothing except the help of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her Zamzam. You see the ni'mah of Allah. You take Zamzam and you wonder that with this well, that how long it's been and never dried out, and it's still gushing and feeding the people of Mecca and people of Medina, and people take with them. Subhanallah al-Azim. Then when you go to Arafat, standing like Yawm al-Qiyam, everyone standing looking up. Everyone from all different nationalities, from all different walks of life, everyone asking Allah something different, in a different language, and Allah hears all of them, and each one of them, his dua is answered. In different language, in different needs, in different things, Allah answers the dua, and As-Sami' hears everything from them. And then sleeping in Muzdalifah, the wealthy, the doctor, the PhD, sleeping on the floor like everyone else, and the dust come on your face, and you can't go to the toilet, and everything, you are... Subhanallah al-Azim, Izzatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Rajab, you remember, to cast the stones on the shaitan. So, of course, the shaitan is not there. Some people think the shaitan is there. No, it's a symbol that I cast the shaitan out of my life. And I follow Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Even if Allah requires me to sacrifice my own children, I will sacrifice them for Allah, and the shaitan goes away. And you shave your hair, all of it. Sah, subhanallah. For Allah Himself. It's Tawheed. It's total ubudiyah to Allah. Many of the things you don't know why you do them like that. But you do them because Allah said so. What more Tawheed than to obey Allah to the point in things you don't know why you do them like that. Sah. This is the ultimate Tawheed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do it properly once in your lifetime and you come back as if your mother just given birth to you today. Clean, pure. Subhanallah. I call it, wallahi, akhwa, I don't do a business. I don't earn money. I don't earn business from this. I'm not doing it as a business. I'm happy to go every year. I call it the washing machine. I go put myself every year once in the washing machine and come out. Because we do so many sins in our life. So if I go every year just to wash my sins, I don't go for you, I go for myself. But part of the deal, I have to look after you. The winches. So, alhamdulillah. And also, wallahi, one of the things that I love in Hajj is helping people who can't do Hajj. Helping someone, teaching someone, removing the burden on someone, going to the doctor with someone to help him. Because that is what? He is what? Daifullah. He is a visitor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are serving him. Daifullah, Daiful Rahman. Sure. So this is what the brothers sometimes miss. Sometimes you're part of the group and a problem appears. We need to move back. Somebody said, I've had money, man. I didn't pay money to do this. Yeah, but here is not the point. Maybe you're right. The group did not deliver, or any group you go with, or something went wrong. A lot of the times, once you're in Saudi Arabia, it's a different ballgame. It's not Australia. Not everything you get, it's not in your hand. A lot of brothers think, oh, but they told us this. Akhi, you have to understand that he would love to give you this, but that's what the government wants. Can you do it? You pay 5,000 riyal for 5-star bus, they send you 0.5-star bus. You're stuck in between. You either tell the bus, go away, which is you're not going to get a bus, or you just shut up and jump on the bus. You call the supervisor, he says, I'm sorry, brother, what can I do for you? I can't do nothing. Bad luck, take it. But we paid so much to get a better bus. But take it or leave it. That's what it is. These things, and here it requires patience. You need help with the bags. Go help the Hujjaj. This is, you're helping a visitor of the Rahman. All it takes is one of them to make dua for you and you're done. Many of these things escape the mind of the brothers. You have to understand, even the Arabs of Jahiliyyah, they used to take a pride of what? Helping the Hujjaj and feeding the Hujjaj and giving a drink for the Hujjaj. They used to fight over it. Abu Sufyan used to fight over it. And Abu Jahl used to fight over it. So you have this opportunity, and then out of your arrogance, you want to become worse than Abu Jahl. Looking after the house of Allah and serving the Hujjaj and feeding the Hujjaj and having ikram to the Hujjaj, that was a trait from the Arabs even before Islam. They used to take a pride in it. Why when we go Hajj and we see someone needs a help? No, man, I didn't pay for this. Yes. This is not a... You're not going to Fiji here and baking in the sun. You're going to Hajj. Ibadah. Sah. Now,
We continue with, we go straight into the matan. Yaqulu rahimahullah, conditions of obligations. You learned what the definition of condition. We're not going to go through it. For the hajj to be accepted from a person, he needs to meet the conditions. No. Or for the hajj to be obligatory on someone, the conditions must be met. If there is no condition, if those conditions are not met, then the hajj is not obligatory upon them. They said,
يجب الحج والعمرة مرة في العمر على المسلم العاقل البالغ الحر إن استطاع إليه السبيل. Hajj and Umrah are mandatory for the free, sane, adult Muslim once in a lifetime if he can afford the means to do it. So here he said, الحج والعمرة. The ulama said, some scholars said, Umrah, it is not obligatory, it's Hajj which is obligatory. Why? They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, verse 97, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated upon the people to perform pilgrimage to the sacred house whomsoever is able to do so. They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hajj only. Some ulama said, no, Hajj and Umrah are obligated. يعني you have to do Umrah once in your lifetime, and you have to do Hajj once in your lifetime. In the Hanabila, in the correct opinion, Wallahu A'lam, the Umrah is obligatory once in your lifetime. And most of the ones who go to Hajj, they do Tamattu, meaning Umrah and Hajj. And they drop that obligation. They drop that obligation. The dalil of the Umrah, it's what narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, يا رسول الله هل على النساء جهاد؟ قال نعم عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه الحج والعمرة. He said, O Messenger of Allah, is there jihad on women? He said, yes, upon the females of my ummah or of the Muslims, there is jihad, no fighting in it, Hajj and Umrah. Hajj and Umrah. And from this the ulama derived that Umrah is an obligation like Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And complete Hajj and Umrah for Allah. That shows that Umrah also is an obligation. Umrah is an obligation like Hajj. And that's why we'll talk later which best forms of Hajj is for the Muslim to do, whether it's, because there are three types of Hajj. The best one, we'll talk about it when we get to it, is At-Tamattu', which is to do Umrah and Hajj. Some would do Hajj by itself without any Umrah. We'll talk about that and when you can do that, when it is better to do that. Right. Here he said, once in a lifetime, because the Prophet ﷺ said when he told them about Hajj, they said every year, he said, no, once in your lifetime. If I was to say yes, it would become obligatory every year and you cannot do it. So it's once in a lifetime, it's enough. He said, Al-Baligh al-Hur. Al-Baligh, who reached puberty, Hur, free. Slave, no Hajj on him. Why? Because he's owned by his master. And the young, there is no Hajj for him. But if his parents take him to Hajj, the reward is for whom? For the parents. But then, as I tell, don't slave your children. You take two children. I've got three now, Hajj. So, here he said, إِذَا اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلَهُمْ. So, whoever is able to do. He'll explain what is the ability and the istita'a. The istita'a. Because Hajj, it has travel, it needs money, it needs dabba, a ride. So, all of this considered part of the istita'a. He said, وَالْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ أَن يَجِدَ زَادًا وَرَاحِلَةً بِآلَاتِهِمَا مِمَّا يَصْلُحُ لِمِثْلِهِ فَاضِلًا عَمَّا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ لِقَضَاءِ دَيْنِهِ وَمُقْنَةِ نَفْسِهِ وَعِيَالِهِ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ. He said, affording, it means he has sustenance amount and what is necessary for them that would suit someone like him. This is in addition to what he needs to pay off his debts and pay for sustenance for him and his dependents until he returns. Azad is the sustenance, meaning he take enough money to buy the food for the trip. Back and forth, not one way, back and forth. Also to leave his family some money that can sustain themselves. There's no use to leave him with no money at all. You leave him, for example, you're going for 1 month, you give your wife the rent for 1 month until you come back, you give her the shopping for 1 month, or you buy the shopping for her for 1 month or 3 weeks that you're going, and you pay the rent for her, her bills are paid. This is part of what? Al-istita'a. It's no use to leave her and walk away. Also, if you have minors who are young kids, are sick, and your wife cannot manage by herself, not she's a whinger, no. She can't manage, like really ill, really sick, that you need to be there for them. That is, if she cannot manage or provide family support for her whilst you are absent, you can't go Hajj. Understand? I'm talking about difficult situation. I'm not talking somebody who's used to that situation. I'm talking extremely difficult situation. One of your children diagnosed with cancer, and now he's every day with the doctors and everything, and your wife, you have 6, 7 children. What are you going to do? Leave her on her own? If you're going to leave her, then you need what? A family support. Your mother, your sisters, and you make sure they help her, not nag her. So, or boss her around. It's very important. To leave yourself standing for yourself and... Now, al-rahila, the mount, of course, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, like to have the camel or the horse, or so. Now, al-rahila here is to have the money to buy the ticket. Yes, you have the tickets to fly there or take you there. Now, we're talking today, subhanAllah, in the class, that can somebody, for example, walk to Hajj? Some people walk to Hajj. There's a brother who walked all the way from Bosnia or whatever to Hajj. Of course, it's not obligatory on you to say, well, if you don't have the car, you don't have the horse, walk. No, this is not obligatory on you. It's not obligatory on you. Even today, for example, if you live, let's just say in Lebanon, and you have a horse, okay, I take my horse because our ancestors used to go on a horse. No, today, the traveling means a bus, cars, or planes, or boat, ship. You embark in Beirut or Tripoli to Jeddah, for example, and you get off Jeddah. If you can't get those, then today, because people are not used to horses, then there is no Hajj on you. Understand this. Like walking, you're not obligated to walk to Hajj, nor it's preferred. But if you want to do it as a sport, it's up to you. But not say, wallahi, as a brother did, and everyone, mashallah, mashallah. Yes, mashallah, good on him. But if he had the ticket, then he need to make it easier on himself, as the Imam al-Shatibi highlighted. He said, it's not from the sunnah to make things hard on yourself. But if you also do it as a sport, or something he always wanted to do, he want to walk to Hajj, like people walk about, the Aboriginal walk about, or whatever, he wants to do his own walk about, and enjoy the views, and learn, and as a record, that's up to him, but that's not. This is in the realm of mubah, allowed. It's not haram, and it's not obligatory on him. Something he wants to do. It's not sunnah, nor يعني we can say he's disobeying the Prophet ﷺ. Because this is what he wants to do. But as long as he doesn't obligate himself to say, wallahi, I'm going to make it obligatory on myself. Because the Prophet ﷺ saw a man fasting and standing in the sun. Authentic hadith. He said, let him go into the shade and continue his fasting. He made a vow that nadhr, he wants to fast in the sun and spend all his day. He said, tell him to sit in the shade and fast. Allah does not ask the abd to make things hard for himself. So he said, na'am, wa rahila, and amount, he must have the rahila, the mimma yasluhu li mithlihi. Listen here, al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said something beautiful, which is I explained already. He said, that would suit someone like him. What does it mean, suit someone like him? Meaning, someone like him, like today, you don't ride a horse from Beirut to Mecca. People like them take a car, bus, or as I explained to you. Sah? So it has to be like that. Here he said, فَاضِلًا مِمَّا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ لِقَضَاءِ دَيْنِهِ. Now, the money has to be on top of what is enough to fulfill his debt. Remember, debt are two types. There is debt which is delayed, and debt there is hal. What is the debt that is hal? When is hajj now? People start living in September. I owe the brother $10,000. And I have $10,000. Here, I don't have to go hajj. It's not obligatory on me because it's hal. Tayyib, what about if I have to return the money to him in September 2014? If the contract between me and him says that the money to be returned in September 2014, and I know when I get back easily I can make that money, my business alhamdulillah is working, or I've got a good job, then I can go hajj. I don't need his permission. I can go hajj. Why? Because his deen is mu'ajjal to a certain time, and oh, now I'm going to get that money. I don't have to give it to him now. So I can go hajj. Understand? That's why some brothers separate between haram and halal and between hajj. In your mind, separate. The brother who's got a big loan from the bank for a business or for a house. He bought a house. Riba, no riba, through halal bank, through riba. Regardless. He says, but I have a debt. I have to pay off my house. That loan is a long term. And you have the money now. Get to hajj. Sah? That doesn't stop you. You can't say, well, I have a debt. I mean, you're never going to pay this debt because your loan is for 30 years. Sah? Differentiate. Now, if someone says, listen to this. Someone says, but I'm in riba. Would my hajj be accepted? We say, you're in a sin. But hajj is something else. It's an obligation. Do you pray 5 times a day? He says, yeah, I pray and fast. I even do qiyam late. We say, do you say your salat and your zakat and your siyam are not accepted because you're in riba? No. Well, this is the same. Maybe if you go hajj, you learn a lesson or two and you repent and you come back. How many brothers repented from many major sins? They were up on it. They were not intending to quit when they come back. When they came back, sold businesses in haram, left jobs. The brothers work in banks or work in riba or work in haram, or they have businesses which is haram. They traveled to hajj and then they learned a lesson or two, they come back. First thing they've done is to get out of their jobs or get out of their business or whatever they're doing haram for halal. Many have done that. So you can't give up on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand this from a fiqh perspective. We continue. وَمَأُونَةَ نَفْسِهِ وَعِيَالِهِ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ. And sustenance for himself and for his family until he comes back, as we explained. So the majority of ulama, they said to cover the expenses until when? Come back. It's not until he goes there, until he comes back. So if it is 3 weeks, it's not good enough. You give your wife 1.5 weeks rent. You have to give her 3 weeks rent for the house. This is to cover her expenses until the time you come back. We need to finish this chapter before I go to hajj.
Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, don't forget, inshallah, that the general lecture is on Tuesdays. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.